In Isaiah 11, 6 through 10, there's an amazing description of what life will ultimately be like in Israel. It's coming a day when peace will exist between all people and animals in the Middle East. Particularly, that there will be such a peace in Israel that nations of the world will want to be there to experience it. It'll be a good thing. It'll be a beautiful thing. It'll be a blessing of God. Well, Psalm 133 is a song of ascents that was written by David. It's apparently a psalm that was written at the worship gathering because there's a reference to the priesthood of Aaron. Only two psalms begin with the word behold, this one and Psalm 134. We see in Psalm 134 that is in the context of the sanctuary, and we see in Psalm 133 that's in the context of brothers. So we conclude that this psalm was written in the context of the people of God, the family of God, gathering together to worship. It's a wonderful thing that David saw. He had, as one writer said, a sense of holy joy. He got some glimpses of this when he was king. But there are prophetic things here that are still in the future. He saw some gathering in Jerusalem, probably one of the festival gatherings in which all the people were united. There was a unified spirit the people had as they gathered to worship God and hear the word of God. By virtue of the fact that David begins the psalm with the word behold, he is basically saying, look at this. Take a look at this amazing spectacle. We have all of the people of Israel gathered together to worship God in a spirit of unity. Just imagine what a day it will be when all Israel from all different nations have gathered together in Jerusalem to worship God together as one family of God. It'll be an amazing thing. You see, having unity and peace among brothers when they gather to worship is a wonderful blessing of God and a wonderful thing to see. We may make a wonderful church age application to this psalm. It's a wonderful thing to gather together as God's people to worship God. It's a wonderful thing to experience. In order to have this kind of unity, people must love God and his word. And when people gather together to worship God as a united unit because they love God and his word, it's a beautiful thing. John Phillips told a story of a father who had a family of quarreling sons. And one day he called his sons together and he picked up the strongest son and he handed him a stick and told the son to snap it. The son did so with ease. Then the man handed him two sticks and again he snapped them with ease. Finally, the man handed him six sticks and the young man could not snap them. The father said to his son, there is strength in unity and weakness in individuality. The noun brothers may refer to physical brothers, spiritual brothers, or national brothers. Certainly is a tremendous blessing when you have brothers who are unified in their commitment to God and his word. More than likely here it refers to the covenant brotherhood of those who are Jewish in the context of loving God and his word. Israel has been divided and dispersed, and it will be an amazing moment to eventually have all Jews together in Jerusalem, loving the Lord and the word and worshiping God. This brotherly unity is not promoting the idea that unity among the James brothers or the Dalton brothers or the Younger brothers or the Menendez brothers is good. These brothers were unified in robbery and murder. Their unity was evil. This is speaking about a unity that exists among brothers in the context of what is right before God. And that's a wonderful thing. And David saw that for Israel. We think that the primary point of this psalm is that it's a wonderful thing when you have brothers who are gathered together to worship God in a unified way. For Israel to gather in Jerusalem to all worship God was something David saw. He saw these Israeli brothers gathered together in order to worship. And unity among brothers is good. Look at the first verse there. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. That word good, tov, is one that means to be good, not only in the sense of being beautiful and positive. This word carries with it the idea of being at a distinguished level of upright excellence that brings happiness and the blessings of God. It's good and pleasant for brothers to dwell together in unity. The word good means it is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing when people live together and get along in unity. Of course, to have unity, one must have a relationship with God. If one is right with God and the others aren't, there won't be unity. Now, unity between people is something God must give. You cannot organize unity. You could try, but it won't work. People join clubs and movements and they unify themselves with some cause, but that cannot produce real unity between people. people. That needs to be worked on and cherished and desired. John Phillips told the story. He was once stationed in Palestine. He was stationed on the docks of Haifa as part of a detachment of troops. On his first Sunday morning, he left camp and decided to go to church. He made his way down the street and found a sign that said Gospel Hall. He knew that was an assembly of believers, so in he went. He said he immediately felt at home with like-minded people who love the Lord. After the morning service, he was invited to the home of a young Christian Arab for lunch. On Sunday evening, he was invited to the home of a Russian believer for supper. And later, after the Sunday evening service, he was invited to the home of a Palestinian Jew. This all happened in one day. So I had unity with every one of these people. No lodge could produce that. You could not organize that. That's produced by the Spirit of God. And unity among brothers is pleasant. The word pleasant is in the plural form, which means that it's a majestic level of brightness and beauty of God's grace and favor. I understand the meaning that you see brothers and sisters who love the Lord and the Word, and they gathered in a unified spirit. And it's something rare and majestically shines forth the grace of God. It's a very rare blessing of God to see a unified group of people who love the Lord and love the Word. It's a beautiful thing to see. And unity among believers is illustrated. First, the illustration of precious priestly oil and anointing. Verse 2. It's like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. Oil in the Old Testament was used for several things, but is especially used to sanctify and set something apart for the sacred service of God. David himself had been anointed to be king. Precious oil was used for priestly anointing, and David saw a time when all Israel was functioning in a priestly way. We may remember in Exodus 19:6 that God said, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That's a time when David saw the entire nation functioning together as priests for God. But he has in mind the anointing of priests and the three things it reveals. Oil was poured upon the head of the priest, oil dripped down upon the beard of the priest, and oil dripped down on the garments of the priest. And now the garments of the priest contained a breastplate. They listed all the 12 tribes of Israel. Obviously, it was a beautiful thing when God's people get together to worship God, and the priests and the people are unified in this priestly focus. The comparison is that when brothers live together in unity, it's a priestly blessing. We know from the New Testament doctrine that one of the emblems of the Holy Spirit is that of anointing oil, specifically His Word, in producing unity. And then we see the illustration of the dew coming down from the mountains of Zion. It says, verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls in the mountains of Zion. Unity is refreshing. Mount Hermon was in the north, and Zion was in the south. Both share in the blessings of the dew of these mountains. The point is, there is blessed unity that is produced by God among His people. It does not matter if it came from the high mountains of Mount Hermon or the mountains of Zion. They all had God's blessing. Heavy dew refreshes everyone in every place. Unity refreshes everyone in every place. Now, high mountain areas get a lot of moisture and heavy precipitation. They get rain, snow, and dew. In the dead of summer, when the lower elevations are parched dry, you can ascend to the higher altitudes and find rich, green, moist grass. Dew is used in the Bible for several things. It is needed by summer crops in order to grow. God sent dew to help the crops. It was considered to be a great blessing. Zechariah 8, verse 12. And when God's people gather together for all parts to worship Him in unity, it's considered to be a great blessing. And then unity among brothers is from God. Look at the last part of verse 3. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's a blessing of God. God is the one who commands His blessings on people. And when God's people have that unity, He is blessing them, and He will bless them. There are blessings of God that you will miss if you do not purpose to be unified in your love for God's worship and Word with your brothers and sisters. The greatest unity to have is unity with God, because That gives everlasting life. You could travel the world and miss the blessings of God. So don't miss how the psalm ends. It talks about life forevermore. One day there will be unity that will exist forever. All of God's people will be living together, loving God and His Word, loving each other and worshiping God. Life will one day be this way forever.